James chapter 4. We're going to read just one verse of scripture, try to bring you a thought. I appreciate everything that was said the other night. Brother Mark preached, talking about going a little farther. I'm glad something's going a little farther. Amen. And I praise God for those that want to go farther. But let's look at this scripture tonight. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, stand please while we read. Therefore, he's been talking about in this chapter, he's been talking about submitting yourself to God, drawing nigh to God. He's been talking about humbling yourself and not knowing what tomorrow holds, but knowing who holds tomorrow, really, is what he's saying. But said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Amen. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for thy word, thy truth. I pray tonight that you would touch us to preach for a few moments and share just from the word of God these thoughts. I pray, make them real to our own heart and the hearts of our people. And I pray that as we think about the revival, think about what's coming up, that we'll be involved and busy about what you'd have us to be involved and busy about. I pray in Jesus' name for divine touch of God. Power of the Holy Ghost work tonight. Lord, you know who's here. You know what we need. You know everything about us. And so we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want tonight to use a simple thought, the sin of doing nothing. The sin of doing nothing. And how many times do we hear people talk about, being saved, it's don't do this and don't do that and don't do the other. And there are some don'ts in the Word of God, that we certain things we ought not to do, that's for sure. If you'll just flip over to Isaiah chapter 1 real quickly, we'll not spend a lot of time there, but let me just give you a thought there we find in way of introduction. In verse 16, notice the very last phrase of that verse. It says, cease to do evil. That is, don't do evil. Cease to do evil. But look at verse 17. Learn to do well. And so that's exactly, we need to cease doing some things, but we need to learn to do well and doing other things. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5. I read this just the other service to you. I want to read it again tonight. And here's talking about some things we need to add to. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying add to, and talking about faith, virtue, and knowledge, so forth. It's growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm tonight thinking about the sin of doing nothing. Christ condemned being unfruitful. He did. He condemned it. I want you to look with me in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter number 21 and verse number 18. If you'll look at this with me just for a moment. Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is a fig tree withered away? And he was looking for fruit, found no fruit, and expected, he was looking for that fruit. I started to say expecting fruit, and he knew what was on the tree and wasn't on the tree. But the tree, he's given us the truth that he's looking for fruit. in our life. In Matthew chapter 25, he talks about the talents, 5 talent, 2 talent, and 1 talent given to men. And in that parable, he talks about 5 gained 5 more, and 1 had 2 gained 2 more, and 1 had 1 went and buried it. And that one was the one that was wrong. The others did well. He's saying to us that we ought to be fruitful and we ought to be producing something in our life and not doing anything. Some people have the idea, as long as I'm not committing adultery or I'm not cussing or I'm not drinking liquor, I'm doing okay. And that's not necessarily so. You cannot be doing all those things and still not be where you need to be with God. Amen. I'm thinking about this revival coming up, and I want God to help us and do something for us. I want you to look in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, if you would please. I'll show you something about fruit here. In John chapter 15, in verse number 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now that tells me he's looking for fruit on every branch. He said, if it don't bear fruit, take it away. And then he said this, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it bringeth forth, that might bring forth more fruit. And so he said, it bear fruit, singular fruit, then said more fruit. He purges it, he works on it. You ever prune your apple tree or pear tree or whatever you have in your yard, or a tomato plant, even cut off the suckers and all that? It helps it bear more fruit. And that's what you're looking, that's what God's looking for. He works in our lives so that we'll bear more fruit. He wants us to bear fruit, but then he wants more fruit. But if you look down in verse number 5 of that same chapter, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And for without me you can do nothing. He said, now we got fruit, we got more fruit. Then it says much fruit. Look in verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And so tonight, let me emphasize the fact, God is looking for fruit. And we know the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance. And that's fruit of the Spirit. But he's looking for fruit out of our lives. Fruit of the Spirit comes through our lives, and those things are manifested in our lives. And he's looking for that kind of fruit, that spiritual fruit. But he's also looking for us to, what do you expect off of an apple tree? Apples, you don't go out to the apple tree and expect to pick a tomato. And you don't go to the tomato vine and expect to pick a pear. And a Christian bearing fruit ought to be another Christian. And we ought to bear some fruit. We ought to be reproducing ourselves. And so we need to be doing that. That means be involved in winning others to Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And we're talking about mission revival. And we're not just talking about getting people to go around the world somewhere preaching the gospel. We're dealing with people right here, right now in Boiling Springs preaching the gospel. And people right here, right now in Boiling Springs being a witness of the gospel and bearing fruit in our lives. And so as God comes looking for fruit, what you find in your life, Christ condemned it. It's a sin not to bear fruit. And some people say, well, now I keep a 10 commandments right there. They told a lie. Amen. You say, preacher, you being a judge. No, I'm just being fruit inspector. And because better than that, I'm just being biblical. Because nobody can keep a law. Law wasn't given to bring us salvation. Law was bringing a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. And therefore, works doesn't save, but there ought to be some works after you are saved. Amen. And he's looking for fruit in our lives. He's looking for something to happen in our lives. And so he's looking for that. But I want you to see this. It's a sin not to be bearing fruit, to do nothing. And, well, I don't do this. I don't cuss. I don't do the other. And the first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. That means you never think about anything but God. And anybody here today thought about anything but God? Anybody here today broke the first commandment? Anybody here failed in that? Loving with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind? I'm saying to you, we need to realize the fact that God said that. And so you and I come short. I do, and you do. We come short of that. But I'm glad that God made a way for us to get it right. And he made it through Calvary, through the blood being shed for us and the death penalty being paid. I'm glad he lives in us and through us. And Paul said, I die daily again. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's what we're talking about tonight. And not doing nothing, not doing nothing. That's double negative, isn't it? English class right there just for a minute, but forget that. If we don't do something, we're sinning against God. We need to be doing something. And so don't get caught up in this thing, well, I don't drink liquor and I don't smoke pot and I don't. That's good. I'm glad you don't. That's well. That's commendable. I commend you for it. But what are you doing? That's the question tonight I'm dealing with. What are you doing for God? And what positive thing are you involved in to do something that brings somebody else to Christ Jesus to bear fruit in your life? You can be involved in a lot of things. And I mentioned recently about we can be in good services. We can have Jubilee. We can be in meeting and it get out of the banks. We can be in all that, get filled up. But it's sad if we get all that feeling. And when I say feeling, I'm not talking about F-E-E-L-I-N-G. I'm talking about F-I-L-L-I-N-G. If we get all that filled up with God, but we don't do anything with it. What's it for? God didn't save us just to make us feel good. And sometimes we get the idea in good meetings, we got to feel good. Sometimes some of the best meeting I've been in, when it got over with, it was one of the best for me because it helped me, but I sure didn't feel good what was going on. I was under conviction. God was working in my heart. God was challenging me about what I need to be doing. God was challenging me because I wasn't doing some things I ought to be doing. Amen. And what about a prayer life? And dealing with that, I'd have to confess I need some help. Amen. Do you? And that's what revival is about, getting us where we need to be. And over in 1 Samuel, Samuel's talking to those people when they was calling for a king, and they said, don't quit praying for us, something to that effect. And he made a statement and said, God forbid that I should sin against God in ceasing to pray for you. What about praying one for another and praying for somebody that's preaching, praying for somebody that's singing, praying for the choir while they sing, praying for these missionaries carrying the gospel. And we got missionaries represented here tonight. Amen. And we could have a mission conference here this evening. Go, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 right off the bat. And missionaries that, I mean, are bona fide missionaries carrying the gospel and going out as missionaries and that kind of thing. But all of us ought to be a missionary. If we expect them to go do something on the field, and I've often said this, if they don't do anything at home, they're not going to do it on the field. Amen. But all of us ought to be doing something at home. And then doing it on, if God calls us to be missionary, in that sense of the word, we all are missionaries. But God calls some to go different places and different full-time work in it. Others he leaves in the church to do the work day by day in the home church and stick by the stuff and keep it going. Amen. But if we don't keep on knocking on doors and we don't keep on witnessing our neighbors, we don't keep on trying to reach people, we don't keep praying like we ought to pray, and we don't stay in the Word of God like we ought to stay in the Word of God, then we fail that it could be doing what God have us to do. Amen. And the local church, by the way, don't plug us in right here. God chose the local church to do his work. And God works in and through the local church. He does not bypass the local church. And anything you get involved in that takes your time and effort away from the local church, it's not of God. A local church is what God uses to send out missionaries. It's what God uses to get you to grow in grace. It's what God uses to challenge you. It's where you challenge your money through. It's where you do what you do for the glory of God. I've often told people when they were taking up money, I don't say I never give anything to somebody taking money for a children's home or something like that. I'm not saying I never give anything to any of that, but many, many times I've told people I give to my church. I give to my church, and I'm not going to give some big donation or something that I don't know what they're doing with it, but I know money given to the church goes for the work of God. Amen. What greater thing is he on the face of God's earth than giving to the local church? Amen. And the church supports missions and gets it out. And I didn't mean to preach on giving, but that's pretty good because you ought to be giving something. Amen. If you're doing nothing, you're sinning. And so we need to be doing something for the glory of God. Amen. So we got a lot of missionaries here. We'll just preach mission message out of this. Amen. And give. So, and that's part of the doing something for God. And so let's do something for God. Great Commission is to go, and everybody's involved in going. And so we need to be doing that. I challenge you tonight. Are you guilty of sin of doing nothing? And we need to get fed. We need to get stirred. We need to get help. Revival is about that. Revival is coming in, a man preaching the word of God, and the Holy Ghost taking that word, challenging our hearts, stirring us up, and getting us excited about Jesus, excited about what God's done, and wanting us to get involved in the work of God. But then not when he leaves, just sit down and fall right back in the same routine, but to go on for God and do something. And I pray God give us real revival. A real revival will be told when it's over, but when the preacher leaves, as singers leave, and all the visitors leave, everything, that's when you know whether or not you had real revival, or whether you just had a stir and a good feeling and good time, and that's all good. I love good times. I love when the power of God breathes through. And I like to preach when it's real at liberty. I love to get stirred and turned loose. I love all that. But if it doesn't carry further than that, the service, then we've missed something somewhere. We need to go further. Amen. We need to go, as he said, go further. But we need to do something for God in our lives. And may God help us to do that. Let me tonight say something to you that are unsaved tonight. You need to do something. Now, I'm going to get on some touchy ground here just for a minute, but I want you to follow me. And don't accuse me of preaching heresy about this, because I've said it and you said it. The unsaved, what must I do? And by the way, the Philippian jailer asked that question, what must I do to be saved? And then, well, I've said it and you said it, and it's true in the right context that it's already done. That's right. The work of salvation has already been paid for at Calvary. It is already done. But does that mean the sinner does nothing? I challenge you tonight that there is something the sinner has to respond to, else he does not get saved. You can be convicted and reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody's talking to me about that a while ago. Is that possible? Or does God just speak to people that he knows are going to get saved? You have to take whosoever will out of it. You'd have to say he's just going to speak to somebody who's going to get saved. And we got to remember that we do have a will to choose whether we're going to accept or reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he said, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And it was something he had to do. If he didn't believe, he couldn't be saved. If he did, amen, you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that's doing something, amen. And it's not just sitting there hearing the gospel and all of a sudden God said, well, I'm going to save you and yank you up and bring you to altar and you get saved. That's not how it works. God speaks to our hearts and deals with us. Conviction's got to be there. But we must respond to that convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And it is possible to say no. It is possible to say reject that and rebel. I've seen people do that in services. Rebel against the work of God and say no to it. And I'm saying that's dangerous ground to get on. People need to get saved. Amen. But by the way, let me ask you about Naaman in the Old Testament. He came to the prophet, asked him what he needed to do. He said, go down to Jordan, dip yourself 7 times. Had leprosy. And did you know he still had leprosy when he went down? Fact is, he got mad about it. He started to go back home. And some of his counselors around him said, some of the men around him said, at least we all try it. You got leprosy anyway. I think what they saying was, y'all try it because you're not getting any better way it is. And he went down to the River Jordan and went in there. And the man of God said, dip 7 times. He dipped once, come up, still a leper. Dip twice, come up, still a leper. 3 times, come up, still a leper. 4 times, still a leper. 5, still a leper. 6, still a leper. But come up a 7th time, his flesh became clean once again. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because he obeyed what God said to do. What must I do to be saved? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what they said, believe on the Lord Jesus. Thou shalt be saved in thy house. I believe God meant what he said. It's a sin to do nothing. It's a sin to do nothing. The sin of doing nothing is what I'm talking about tonight. You sit in the house of God tonight and you're not saved and you do nothing. You're sinning against God. You're rejecting the love of God. You're rejecting what Jesus did for you at Calvary. You're saying no to the blood. You're saying no to the mediator that sits in heaven to plead for your case. The one that loved you more than anybody ever loved you, you're saying no to him. The one that cares for you better than anybody ever cared for you, you're saying no to him. And you're rejecting the Holy Spirit that's tugging at your heart and knocking at your heart's door tonight and saying you need to be saved. And you don't get saved, you're doing nothing. And it's a sin to do nothing. May God help you do something tonight. That is, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And God help you that are saved, that we all may do something for the glory of God. Now, we got revival coming up. And I know it's mission school, and I keep emphasizing this because I'm afraid folk get the idea it's a mission school. It's just not going to be anything at night except just missionary that won't get too involved in. They're afraid to get too involved in. It might cost them something, but I want you to know that may be true. And all that may be true up to that point, but I want you to know we're talking about revival. And a mission school can be revival. Fact is, we've had some good preaching in mission schools. We've had some good singing in mission schools. Fact is, we've had a good presence of God in mission schools. And we've had some good night services in mission schools. And I'm expecting a good mission revival. Amen? But I want to do something before that Monday night comes. I want to do something myself. I want to pray about it. I want to ask God to help me. I want God to help the preacher that's coming. He needs our prayers. I ask God to help Brother Gary Tingen as he leads the mission school. I want God to help every missionary that attends it. I want God to get on it so much and the power of God to work in night services at people to get saved, but not only get saved, but I want to see our people get stirred and get help and revived. I need God stirring my heart and reviving me for his glory. Do you? Let's do something. Let's do something. And we can't just say, well, we're going to have revival. It's going to happen. Let's do something. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I pray you'd help us do what we need to do because we love you and because to give you glory. Our Father, you loved us and you did something about it. You loved so much that you gave so that we might be saved. Now help us in response to that to give ourselves. So that you may use us for your glory and we may help others hear about revival and others may get stirred and others may come and others may get help. And I pray not just for the missionaries to get help, but I pray that the church get help and all of us get help. And we'll praise you and thank you. Help us get involved and do what we need to do for the glory of God. We pray tonight in this house. Now, Lord, these folk here know not the Lord Jesus. People need to get saved. There's folk here tonight that need to get on the altar and ask God to help them do something for the glory of God. I pray tonight you'd have your way in the invitation. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.